want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And welcome to the month of May. We pray that you are having a great day. This is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we want to thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program on this beautiful Monday. Pray that it's beautiful because Jesus is living in your heart. And so if you had a great weekend worshiping in the house of the Lord, I pray that you are going to take that encounter with God and you're going to live it out in a public fashion so that other people are impacted as well. If you heard something good over the weekend, maybe they sang a song and it moved you, or share that with somebody. It doesn't have to, you know, sharing Jesus doesn't have to be, you know, a one and done process. It can be living it out every single day. And I pray that you will do that. But you don't have a church home, Merritt Assembly of God, we're not a fly-by-night church. We're getting ready in the month of June to celebrate 71 years as a church. It's had plenty of ups and downs. It's the building that we have used to be a dance hall back in the 50s. They tore that down and built a sanctuary there. And, you know, like I said, many ups and downs throughout the years. My wife and I have been there for over 30 years now, and we are just grateful to God for the privilege of pastoring that church. There were a lot of people who turned down the opportunity to pastor the church, and we just felt like God said that was what he wanted for us, and we've been there ever since, and excited about some of the new things that are going on, saddened by some of the new things that are going on. We've got some military personnel that are going to be relocated here very soon, and that is something I still haven't seen the paperwork come across my desk where the military was asking for my permission to transfer them, but they're going to get transferred nonetheless. And so if you are looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come and be a part of that. So today we are going to go into the book of Job, the 32nd chapter. I do want to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes for all they do here in Brevard County. And, you know, they have helped me at my house. They've helped us at the church. They are very, very good at what they do. They know what they're doing. They work hard at what they do and, you know, provide a great value along the way. And so with summer coming, if you are looking for an upgrade to your exterior spaces around your house, give the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes a call, 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. Have them come out, take a look at your job, and see if y'all can't come together on a scope, a price, and a timeline, and you will be as pleased with yours after they get done as I was with mine, both at both facilities, my house and the church. So 321-208-2281, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be a blessing. Today, here we go to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32, we're talking about inspiration, what happens when God breathes. Last week we were talking about the fact that the word of God is God breathed. The word pneuma is the word for spirit and breath and wind in the Greek. In the Old Testament, it's ruach, wind, breath, spirit. And so whenever you see those words, it can mean one of those things, or sometimes it has a dual meaning. So we're going to look at that a little bit. And in Job chapter 32, this is I'm going to share from this passage. In doing so, I'm going to tell you that whenever I am referring to the comforters of Job, it always makes me nervous, because in this case, I'm going to be sharing some of the things that one of the comforters said, and those comforters end up getting rebuked by God. And so I'm going to handle this in a very intentional and limited scope. So in chapter 32, verse number 1, it says, "So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job." Listen to this. "His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused." Three times in this passage, we hear about what has motivated Elihu, and it is his wrath. So in verses 1 through 5, there are three different times it says his wrath was aroused. "So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, 'I am young in years and you are very old. Therefore I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore I say, listen to me, I also will declare my opinion. Indeed, I have waited for your words. I listened to your reasonings while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention to you, and surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words. Lest you say, 'We have found wisdom,' God will vanquish him, not man. Now, he has not directed his words against me, so I will not answer him with your words. They are dismayed and answer no more. Words escape them, and I have waited because they did not speak. Because they stood still and answered no more, I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion, for I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man, for I do not know how to flatter, else my Maker would soon take me away." So that was reading the whole chapter, 22 verses. There are two verses here. In verse number 8, it says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." And in verse number 18, he says, "For I am full of words, the spirit within me compels me." Verse 19, "Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins." So for Elihu, it describes that there are two different things that are taking place inside of him. And in both of these cases, the word that is spirit, and in verse number 8, the word that is breath, they're all lowercase, although in verse number 8, it talks about the breath of the Almighty. So he's referring to God there. There's three different voices in the spirit realm, and knowing which voice is which is extremely important. So there's the voice of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and it's very important that we listen to him and do what he tells us to. There is demonic spirits. We don't want to have anything to do with them. They're liars and counterfeiters. They masquerade as being something that they are not. And then there's our spirit. And we have to be very careful to discern which spirit is speaking. So one of Job's comforters, when he was transitioning from comforter to confronter, he said, I had a spiritual encounter last night. And he goes on and it describes as a really creepy experience. When I read his description, it does not sound like the ministry of the Holy Spirit to me. In fact, he goes on and becomes a condemning and accusing vessel instead of a comforting person. And I don't think we need to do the devil's job. So it's very important for us to discern which spirit is speaking. For me, the most dangerous voice to be able to weed out is what my spirit is saying. Because my voice, my spirit can lead me astray because it's moved by emotions, it's moved by intellect, it's not spiritually motivated all of the time. There are some other influences that can come and make it sound exactly like I want it to sound. And I can throw up my hands and praise the Lord and said, God has given me the answer. It's everything that I wanted. I had a Sunday school teacher at our church, and several years ago, he talked about how when God gave the children of Israel manna as they were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, that it did not come down in a processed form. It came down in an unprocessed manner. So they had to go out and gather it. They had to bring it back. They had to work it, grind it. They had to do whatever was necessary to get that manna from heaven into a consistency or a product that they could make something with. And that brings on all of the Keith Green, so you want to come out of Egypt things, banana bread or manna cotti, and all of those types of things that, just kind of make funny menu items. So it's very important to know what spirit. And but when you read about this Elihu's motivation, about what was motivating him, was he was mad at Job. He was mad at the men who were accusing him. And his wrath was aroused because they had not, they had found no answer, and they had condemned him. So his motivation was wrath. The Spirit of God inside of us should be motivating us not out of wrath, but out of love. So, the first thing that I will say is that the Spirit of God, the breath of the Almighty, gives us understanding. That's what it says in verse number 8. There are a lot of people who are walking around in a spiritually dead, spiritually blind. And I'm not making that accusation. The scripture says that people literally have their eyes blinded spiritually to the reality of who Jesus is. There are people who are dead in their trespasses and sin because Jesus is not living in their hearts. So the Spirit of God begins to move inside of us so that we have understanding. We need understanding of who God is. We need to understand our own condition. We need to understand the remedy for our condition, which is Jesus Christ being our Savior and Lord. There is a great deal of understanding that needs to take place. I had a chemistry teacher in high school, and he made this statement. He said, "The more I know, the more that I know that I don't know." In other words, the more understanding he gained, the more he realized that he still did not have perfect understanding. And understanding is very important. Now, you've heard me say this if you've listened on the program any length of time. when my kids were growing up, we needed them to understand the importance of obedience and how timely that was. So we stress to them, when we tell you to do something, you need to do it. We may explain to you later why we need you to do it, but we need you to do it. If a car is barreling down the road out of control, we may not have time to say, hey, there's a car that's moving really fast down the road, and when you get around to it, you might want to remove yourself from the street because where you are positioned in the path of the car, there's a higher than normal probability that the two of you could collide. There's not enough time for that. Sometimes all you got time to do is call out their name and say, move, get out of the street. That's all the time that you've got. And so I tell people, just in that case, I need you to understand the nature of God beyond your understanding of the why, the when, the where, and the how. You have to start with trusting God. When you understand who He is, what He's done for you, what He's going to do, and what He is currently doing for you, then you can trust Him. When He says, act, then you need to act right then. Blam. No other explanation is needed at that point in time. You may have it later. I tell people that when we get to heaven, I believe we're going to have greater understanding of all of the interventions that God has made in our lives to a much greater degree than what we currently have. Right now, we're impacted by feelings, we're impacted by thoughts, we're impacted by disappointments, distracted, lack of focus. Our understanding is pretty well compromised. Now, I will also say this. I believe that understanding is spiritual before it's intellectual. Especially when it comes to God and His Word. The Bible says that the Word of God is spiritual and it is spiritually discerned. So that means I don't approach it with my intellect first. I ask the Holy Spirit to guide me into truth and to help me to understand what God wants me to understand. Do you understand? just having a little bit of fun there this morning. So that's the first thing. Know the Spirit, and then make sure if it's God's Spirit that it brings you to a place of understanding. God's not looking to stay a mystery. It's not like God is saying, oh no, I can't have you finding out who I really am. That's the way that the devil operates. God operates and says, this revelation of who I am is going to be glorious. It's going to be a journey, not an event. And it's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. And so I pray that understanding is something that comes into your life when God breathes into your life. Now, if you drop down a little bit further down into verse number 18, Elihu says, again, this is Job 32. He says, for I am full of words, and he describes what that capacity of fullness looks like. In verse number 19, he said, my belly is like wine that has no vent. They would put wine into a wineskin, and as the gases would begin to take place during the fermentation process, that wineskin would begin to expand, and it would become very bloated looking. It says it is ready to burst like new wineskins. So that's the condition that he found his mouth in. He said, I'm full of words And then he makes this statement, the spirit within me compels me. Now, he is saying here that the spirit within him is compelling him to speak. And so I will say this. Speaking is one thing, doing is another. Through 30 years of ministry, not 30 years of ministry, but 30 years of pastoring at Merit Assembly of God. So now you know that I'm at least 35, at least. I can tell you this. I want my actions to be what does most of my talking. If you have not heard of the quote of Francis of Assisi, he says, preach often, use words when necessary. In our current society, many people are afraid to speak up. In other words, their emotion is overriding the spiritual compulsion or motivation, the spirit that is taking place inside of them and encouraging, speak up, speak up. And instead of being motivated, we're being suppressed. And so I want to ask you, what spirit is motivating you? Is it one that is motivating you to grow? Is it one that is motivating you to run hard after God? I've got written down here on my notes, a second wind, getting a second wind. I am not a runner. I will tell you, I ran when I was in college to try and earn aerobics points because my physical education was part of the curriculum. You took physical education every year when at the college that I went to. And there were two parts of your grade. There was the academic grade and there was the exercise grade, how many points you earned for exercising. And I didn't realize that I could have counted a whole bunch of things that I did as exercise. And I just was too much of a stickler and didn't realize that that was part of the, that was part of what was acceptable. And so I was running and I got to where I could run 4 miles. But I never enjoyed that. And one day I was running in the exercise pavilion and, Evelyn Roberts was there. I was at Oral Roberts University at the time. And it was just her and I on the track. She was walking, I was running, and my face was really, really red. And she said, son, how many miles have you run? And I said, in one more lap, it'll be four miles. She said, son, you need to stop. And when the president's wife of the university says it's time for you to stop, it's time to stop. And so my motivation at that point in time, the spiritual motivation behind me said, okay, it is better to listen to the authority in your life rather than be motivated by a goal, which no one's really going to care about 40 or 50 years from now. She was looking out for my long-term health. And I can tell you that in all of the times that I have run, that there have been times that I wanted to quit. And then I would see a goal a little further down the road. And I said, well, I think I can make that. And then when I made that, I was motivated to go just a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further. And I still don't enjoy running. But I can tell you, you need to know what compels you, what motivates you, and it needs to be spiritual. Don't be motivated by your pride. We're not motivated by our retirement funds or any of that sort of stuff. Listen, we need to get our motivation from the heart of God. God, what is your will? Your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. So for Jeremiah, he said, you know, much in the line of what Elihu describes here in Job chapter 32, he said, I tried to keep silent. I was so tired of preaching to people who would not respond. And he said, and the word inside of me became like a fire shut up in my bones. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, his motivation wasn't on the reception that the people were going to give him. His reception was on how God was going to respond when he met him face to face. I do believe that the stage is set, and if the father leaned over to Jesus and said, go get your bride, I do believe that it could be any minute. I don't believe it is a time for playing spiritual games. I believe it is time to be spiritually serious and find out what's on the Father's heart and allow what motivates him to motivate us. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was on the other side of the cross. And so I can tell you he's way more excited about us being reconciled to the Father, and that motivated him to the point of excruciating pain. That's what the word excruciating means. It means the pain of the cross. And he said, not even excruciating pain is going to prevent me from the compulsion to complete the task that God has given to me, because I know it is going to be jubilant. And so I pray that your May is getting off to a good start. I pray that your week is getting off to a great start, and that this week that the Spirit of God operating in you as he breathes upon you, that you will gain understanding and you'll be motivated to speak not through wrath, but through the love of Jesus Christ. Speak the truth in love. You have a great and glorious day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.